www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump is in Canada for the G7 summit. One of the things the president hopes to address is free trade.
They understand, and you know, they're trying to act like, well, we fought with you in the wars. They don't mention the fact that they have trade barriers against our farmers. They don't mention the fact that they're charging almost 300% tariffs. When it all straightens out, we'll all be in love again.
Today, the White House launched a raw and unfiltered look at the opioid epidemic that many folks are facing, called the crisis next door. Kellyanne Conway joined Fox News to talk about just how important this issue is to the president.
He heard from on the campaign, and he brought that issue right in here to the White House, as he promised he would. The First Lady is very involved in her Be Best initiative. She is the one most responsible for elevating the issue of neonatal abstinence syndrome babies, those 100 newborns born every single day, already chemically dependent.
This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Applebee's. Applebee's expands its signature 2-for-20 menu, two full-size entrees and a full-size appetizer to share for $20, by adding flame-grilled steak as an extra option to tempt everyone's taste buds. Starting on May 28th and for a limited time only, guests can enjoy a 6-ounce USDA Select Top Sirloin Steak as an entree option, by itself or in a delicious combo like the shrimp and parmesan sirloin. It will satisfy the biggest of appetites. And the best part is that you can share this with a special someone. Submit an image or video of your epic 2-for-20 proposal on Twitter from June 4th to June 10th using hashtag 2-for-20contest for a chance to win a date night at Applebee's. And if you don't feel like dining in, also for a limited time, enjoy 20% off $20 or more on your next Applebee's Carside To-Go order. For more, visit applebees.com. Price and participation may vary by location.
The president is in Canada for the G7 summit. Now, before the president took off, he did field some questions from reporters and did raise a few eyebrows when he was asked about Russia and the G7.
Russia should be in this meeting. Why are we having a meeting without Russia being in the meeting? And I would recommend, and it's up to them, but Russia should be in the meeting. It should be a part of it. You know, whether you like it or not, and it may not be politically correct, but we have a world to run. And in the G7, which used to be the G8, they threw Russia out. They should let Russia come back in, because we should have Russia at the negotiating table.
If you're interested in buying a home, well, that home may not stay on the market very long. Now, according to a new report out, the number of days a U.S. home is on the market is 64 days. Now, that's the lowest it's been since 2010. Quick look at your numbers on Wall Street this Friday. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up just over 30 points. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Earlier this week, President Trump commuted the sentence of Alice Johnson. Now, that is Kim Kardashian's great-grandmother. Kardashian was on CNN, and she talked about this whole situation and all that she went through to help her great-grandmother.
Daily phone calls with the White House. Maybe a dozen emails a day trying to get letters, letter from the warden. I mean, I have to give credit to where Alice's whole team has been working on this for years.
And how Ivanka played a role in this.
How it all happened was I reached out to Ivanka and I said, you know, I know that you have compassion for women like this. And I explained to her her story and she immediately got it. And she immediately felt it.
She also talks about how skeptical she was of President Trump.
Trump is the last person I thought that would have done this. But he did, and he pulled through.
Kardashian also talks about how this isn't over yet.
There's over 3,000 people in the same exact situation as Alice, but it doesn't mean that we're going to stop here.
International House of Pancakes, or IHOP, announced earlier this week they would be changing the last letter in that acronym to a B, so it's going to be IBOP. Now, many people are wondering why the move. Brand experts are saying, yeah, it might not be the best thing, as many people know the IHOP logo and IHOP brand. But we're all going to find out Monday what the B will stand for. Please remember, you can check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and we speak to the folks there from time to time, are producing a number of fine plays during the 2018 season, and one of them is Othello. I had the pleasure of seeing the play for the first time staged myself at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It is directed by Bill Rausch, who is also the artistic director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Othello is playing at the Angus Bohmer Theater through October 28th, 2018, and you can find tickets and more information at osfashland.org. And we're very pleased today to speak with Bill Rausch. Bill, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Sure thing. So Othello, as a play, is so immersed in the issues of race and gender. Was it a challenge to stage this play in an era where so many seem to want to take us back to earlier conceptions of both?
Well, I agree with you that it's a play that's shockingly relevant 400 years after its composition. It's just extraordinary how it resonates with all that's going on in our country today and the world today. And in addition to race and gender politics, I would also name xenophobia and religious bigotry.
Right.
You know, a fellow being somebody who is not from the country that he's serving, and how that outsider status is manipulated by Iago into fomenting the tragedy. So, yeah, it was very challenging, but also very rewarding, I think, for all of us working on the production to dig into the issues.
I know it's very difficult to put yourself into the mind of someone who was writing 400 years ago, someone who's certainly been studied but is subject to the forces of a very different time. But do you think for his own era, at least in this particular case, that that Shakespeare was a progressive playwright?
You know, it's such a great question, and it's so debatable, right, because there are arguably regressive politics as well as progressive politics in Shakespeare's plays. But I do feel that he is such a humanist, and his understanding of human beings and their motivations is so profound, and so evergreen. You know, that's why we do the work. That's why we've got a $40 million theater dedicated to his body of work. His understanding of human behavior is completely uncanny all these hundreds of years later. So I do, knowing Shakespeare the way I've gotten to know him by directing so many of his plays over the last three decades, I absolutely believe that he was very progressive, and that he put problematic human behavior into his plays, but that he does have a social critique of that behavior. That's my opinion.
We're speaking with Bill Rausch, who's the artistic director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, also the director of Othello, which is playing through October 28th, 2018 at the Angus Bowmer Theater in Ashland, Oregon. You can find out more at osfashland.org. Being that this was the first time I had seen the play staged, I was just fascinated by the characterization of Iago and what a vicious, manipulative character he was, and I was wondering how you worked to achieve that particular characterization.
Well, they say 90% of directing is casting, and I certainly feel that that's true in the case of Othello. I was so blessed by all 12 actors who were in this cast. Danforth Coleman's, who plays Iago, just brings such intelligence and such integrity to anything that he does. And so it was just a joy to dig in, you know, if you can say a joy digging into the mind of such a disturbing character. But it really was, you know, his intelligence and his fluidity with the language and his sense of play in terms of the restlessness of Iago's mind and that impulse to destroy, and how he plays with the audience and makes the audience complicit in that. All of it was just revelatory in the rehearsal room and as we moved into the theater. It was a great ride.
And I certainly remember his fine performance as Hamlet a couple of seasons back. He's really certainly delivered quite well here as well. Given that we're talking, again, just to circle back around to this, a play which deals with such strong issues of race, you know, issues of gender, just manipulation, racism. I mean, what lessons do we take from this play in 2018? As you say, there's some elements to this which don't, you know, of the original play itself, which certainly don't. Are rough in this era. You look at the way that Iago treats Desdemona and kills her, and just in which she is in every way just subject to these horrors and expectations by society, as is in his own way Othello. What lessons do we take from something that's so difficult, so tragic, and so violent?
Well, really, your question to me goes back to why should we do tragedies ever? You know, why should we look into the darkest corners of the human heart in terms of the most horrifying things that we can do to one another as human beings? And it's a profound question. I think that Shakespeare's works are too complex to be reduced to simple morality plays or cautionary tales. With that said, however, I do think, especially in 2018, that watching a story of how othering leads to tragic consequences is really profound. You know, there's a lot of othering going on in our world right now, mm-hmm. And certainly in our country right now, and to see the most tragic consequences of othering, I think is useful. It's useful to us as human beings. It's useful to us as a society. It's very difficult to watch. I find it hard to watch. But we have to explore every aspect of humanity if we're going to grow. And I think that that's what all of Shakespeare's work gives us the opportunity to do, including the tragedies.
We're speaking with Bill Rausch. He is the artistic director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. You have announced that you're actually going to be leaving, moving on from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and to other fields of endeavor. And I'd like you to get your thoughts about what you've accomplished during your time.
Oh my goodness, that's a wonderful, wide-ranging question. Yes, I am moving in August of 2019 to be the first artistic director of the Ronald Perelman Center for the Performing Arts in New York City on the site of the World Trade Center, and want to contribute all I can to creating more peace in the world through the performing arts on that sacred ground of the World Trade Center. So I'm here at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival all this season and all of next season until the final show opens next season.
Well, we really appreciate your time here, and speaking as someone who lives in Southern Oregon, it certainly has made a difference in my life, the lives of the people that I know. I appreciate what you've done. Thank you for your service to the community and what you've helped to create here. We've been speaking with Bill Rausch, the artistic director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Othello will be playing at the Angus Bomer Theater through October 28th, 2018. For more information, for tickets, you can go to osfashland.org. Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate the time today.
It's been a complete pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Smart home technology? Meet beautiful window coverings with Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Easy and affordable automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings, and Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So now you get the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled Smart Shades. We're your local experts, and we do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy the seamless functionality of smart home automation to program and control your shades. Get style and service for every budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free smart home consultation. Call now to get a free smart lighting control bundle with your smart shade purchase. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
This report is brought to you by Applebee's. Applebee's expands its signature 2-for-20 menu, two full-size entrees and a full-size appetizer to share for $20, by adding flame-grilled steak as an extra option to tempt everyone's taste buds. Starting on May 28th and for a limited time only, guests can enjoy a 6-ounce USDA Select Top Sirloin Steak as an entree option, by itself or in a delicious combo like the shrimp and parmesan sirloin. It will satisfy the biggest of appetites. And the best part is that you can share this with a special someone. Submit an image or video of your epic 2-for-20 proposal on Twitter from June 4th to June 10th using hashtag 2for20contest for a chance to win a date night at Applebee's. And if you don't feel like dining in, also for a limited time, enjoy 20% off $20 or more on your next Applebee's Carside To-Go order. For more, visit applebees.com. Price and participation may vary by location.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. I was about a month ago puttering around on the internet, as I sometimes do, listening to songs on YouTube. And I stumbled across one by Pete Seeger, the well-known folk singer, and he mentioned at the beginning of a song that I had not heard before called Gonna Be an Engineer, that it was by his sister Peggy. And I listened to the lyrics, which were about the struggles of a woman through her life against discrimination and the burdens that are placed on her by society involving sex, childbirth, child raising, and so forth. And I said to myself, this is a great song, but I need to listen to the original version of this. So I searched it, tracked it down, and listened to the version that was sung and recorded by Peggy Seeger. And I said, this is an amazing song. I listened to it all the way through. I posted it on Facebook. And my own mom logged on and commented, you know, this is a song that I could have written. She was born in the 1940s, and I realized that there was something here that I hadn't been aware of. I hadn't known who Peggy Seeger was, and I did some more research. I found out, and I reached out because I wanted to speak with her. So we are talking today with Peggy Seeger. She is a singer, a folk singer, and the author of First Time Ever, a memoir. Peggy Seeger, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Derek.
So tell me, just to begin with, and there's so many other things that I want to discuss with you, how did the writing of Gonna Be an Engineer come about specifically?
Well, it was a bit of an accident. And there's always a longer story whenever you ask me questions like that. I go a little bit further back than maybe necessary.
Feel free.
Ewan McCall and I organized a group called the Critics Group, who were investigating how people who had not been brought up with folk music can sing folk music. Because folk music has its own disciplines, its own history, and at that time, living in England, a lot of the folk music, which was unaccompanied, was being it was being harmed by people taking it up and singing it, not knowing quite how to do it. Not that we, you know, knew totally, but we formed this group called the Critics Group, and it was formed about 1965, And in, let's see, probably in 1969 or so, maybe 70, the group had developed into a considerable influence on the British folk revival. And it had become a group that started doing dramatic presentations. And once a year, the group put on a performance called the Festival of Fools, full length, about 2.5-3 hours of skits and things that mostly were written by Ewan McCall and acted, my husband, and acted by the group.
Mm-hmm.
And Ewan was pressured that particular autumn to get this thing written, and I was doing the accounts. And Ewan came downstairs. He says, "Look, it's Women's Year, and I want you to write a song about it. You know, Women's Year, it happens every so often, like like Year of the Disabled and right. Year of the Pet Owner, and, uh-huh. you know, every year is Man's Year, but this was Women's Year."
Right.
And he said, "We need a song." And so I stopped, and, you know, I'd never wanted to be an engineer, but it was one of those songs that for some strange reason just flies down out of the sky and lands on your shoulders. And I just wrote it in the space of about 2 hours. And I took it upstairs to play to Ewan. And he said, "It's fine," he said, "but the last verse makes you want to slit your throat." He says, "Let's have a bit of hope in the last verse." And so I went downstairs and I wrote a better last verse. And the song went into that year's performance at the Festival of Fools. And it took off. Now, it's a complicated song. It lasts about, I think, 3.5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It has considerable range. If you heard Pete's version, Pete cut out some of the versions, mm-hmm. The verses.
Right.
The verses in major are the woman singing herself, her life story.
Yeah.
And the verses in minor talk about society's reaction to what she wants to do, and said, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that."
Right.
And so it's strange for such a complicated song to be taken up and sung by other singers. And quite a number of singers have sung it. It's kind of taken off, and not many people have changed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it often happens. The song is taken up and it's changed. It's kind of like a chameleon, and it
right.
takes on the colors of the culture or the type of person that wants to sing it.
Yeah.
But this one, other than a little bit of Americanization, because I'm part British. I've sworn allegiance to the Queen, which most Brits haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taken off, and I'm delighted. But in actual fact, I just went back to doing the accounts,
mm-hmm.
And I have never wanted to be an engineer. It was something that appeared, you know.
Well, I do have to say that, especially in this moment of Me Too and the realizations, or rather acknowledgments, on a very public mainstream level of so many of the difficulties and abuses that women face every day, this song, having been written a generation or two ago, touches on
two generations. It's two generations.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It touches on issues that even today we still aren't discussing in a serious way about how women do work that is not acknowledged and is not paid for and is just assumed. That's not taken into account in the quote-unquote economy. Yeah.
Two generations ago, I'm going to interrupt you because that's
please.
What I do.
Please.
Two generations ago,
mm-hmm.
the problem then, we still have it.
Yeah.
Now, I live in England. You're phoning England.
Right.
And it was recently said in the papers that it's possible that by 2050, women will get equal pay. Well, I think it was Finland or Sweden or one of those that, bang, they said, women are going to get equal pay. Bang, it was done.
Right.
We take so long making bureaucratic changes.
Yeah.
It can be done simply, like taxing the rich. We
right.
could do it. We just don't.
We could. And for society, as well as our leaders, to come to that same realization, that the process is glacially slow, and I suppose that Max Planck's dictum that society evolves. That he said that science evolves one funeral at a time, and perhaps that's the case here as well, unfortunately. But we know what the problem is. It's been identified, and your song does it so well and so clearly. And yet we're still talking about issues that presumably we would have dealt with so long ago.
I'm glad you like the song.
I do indeed.
When I was a little girl, I wished I was a boy. I tagged along behind the gang and wore my corduroy.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue our conversation with Peggy Seeger. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress at a price you can afford. Here's how it works. Go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress customized to your specific height, weight, and sleep preferences. And we can customize each side of the mattress. Because studies confirm optimal sleep is best achieved on a mattress custom built just for you. And with prices starting at just $600, there's no reason to look anywhere else. With financing as low as 0% and our 100-night sleep trial, your perfect mattress is only a few clicks away at HelixSleep.com. And during our Memorial Day sale, go to HelixSleep.com/custom, and you'll get up to $150 towards your mattress order. That's HelixSleep.com/custom for up to $150 off your mattress order. HelixSleep.com/custom.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Trump is in Canada for the G7 summit. One of the things the president hopes to address is free trade.
They understand, and you know, they're trying to act like, well, we fought with you in the wars. They don't mention the fact that they have trade barriers against our farmers. They don't mention the fact that they're charging almost 300% tariffs. When it all straightens out, we'll all be in love again.
Today, the White House launched a raw and unfiltered look at the opioid epidemic that many folks are facing, called the crisis next door. Kellyanne Conway joined Fox News to talk about just how important this issue is to the president.
He heard from on the campaign, and he brought that issue right in here to the White House, as he promised he would. The First Lady is very involved through her Be Best initiative. She is the one most responsible for elevating the issue of neonatal abstinence syndrome babies, those 100 newborns born every single day, already chemically dependent.
This is USA Radio News.
Ryan! I don't know how else to say this, so I'll just say it!
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people!
Are you breaking up with me? On a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun! Maybe we should stay together!
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time!
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Peggy Seeger. She is the author of First Time Ever, a memoir. You grew up in a tremendously musical family that produced some amazing talents. What was it like growing up when you did, and in the family that you did, and what was the musical life of your childhood like?
Well, you began with talking about my brother Pete. He was born in 1919 from my father's first wife, Constance Edson. There were three boys, Charles, John, and Pete, and that marriage didn't work out, other than producing three absolutely wonderful boys. and probably a lesson for both mom and pop. And I am the product of the second marriage. My mother was Ruth Crawford Seeger, who, if you Google her, you will find that she is now regarded as the main female composer of modernist music of the 1900s.
Hmm.
I didn't know about her classical music composition. I knew she was a fantastic pianist, and my father was a professor of music, but Pete used to visit a lot, because I was born in 35, and
right.
he was born in 1919, so he was 16 when I was born.
Right.
But we didn't grow up together. We might as well, because Pete visited so much, but he was a real treat to the family, and got along beautifully with my mother. He was about the same distance in age from my mother that my mother was from my father. So I had two musical parents and a visiting brother who was discovering folk music and who was intensely musical. So there was music around the house all the time. My parents moved to Washington, D.C. in 1937 or so, and my father was part of Roosevelt's WPA program of going around the country and reinvigorating folk music, collecting folk music. My mother stayed home and brought up three children and eventually a fourth, so that there was always classical music around the house and there was always folk music around the house. So I was brought up with those two parameters of the music of the United States.
Yeah.
And it was indeed extraordinary. I grew up listening to my mother transcribing songs that had been collected, songs like appeared in the Brother, Where Art Thou film. John
right.
and Alan Lomax collected so many of those songs.
Right.
And I was brought up listening to those while she transcribed them for the Lomax books. And then at night, she'd play classical piano. That was my childhood. It was extraordinary. Well, really quite extraordinary.
Was it then a natural decision for you to go into music yourself? How did you come to that decision yourself?
Well, I studied piano with my mother and then with several other piano teachers. And I got really good on the piano, but I didn't have the nerves for classical playing. I just, the minute I made one little mistake, I was lost. I just didn't have that. But I sang naturally. Most children sing naturally if they're encouraged. And I learned to play the guitar when I was about 10, banjo when I was about 14 or 15. And then I learned the auto harp and the dulcimer and the concertina. And by the time I got to be 28 or 29, I had six instruments under my belt. So I with osmosing music the way I did, and my brother Mike the same, although Mike branched out into other folk instruments like the mandolin and the fiddle and the panpipes and became part of the Southern American scene. I moved over to England when I was 21.
Right.
And became part of the music scene over here, the folk music scene. I took to folk music because I absolutely love the songs. I do. I love them. I'm not a folk singer. I'm a singer of folk songs. And to me, there's a big difference, you know.
Right.
I wasn't brought up with parents who sang it in the community who sang it. I was brought up in a musically intelligentsia family. and I learned it through listening to records when I was from before I can even remember.
Right. As you mentioned earlier, you're living in England now. You moved there when you were 20, moved back and forth several times. How did you make the decision to come there where you met your husband of for 30 years, Ewan McCall, who was a singer-songwriter in his own right?
I was, when I was 20, so this would be, we're talking about early 1956, I was racketing around Europe,
right.
And Alan Lomax tracked me down because due to McCarthyism, he had fled the United States, and he was living in England. And he was part of the folk music. Well, he pretty much started the British folk revival. And he was looked on as a person who could find you a folk singer of any sort. And Granada Television was putting on a performance recording of Dark of the Moon, and they needed a female who could sing and play the banjo. And Alan said, oh, I know one. And Alan had been in my life also since ever I could remember. So he phoned my father up in California and said, where's Peggy? And my father said, I don't know. She's somewhere between Holland and Denmark. And so he tried all of the youth hostels and finally found me in Copenhagen and said, you're needed over in England. It was just about the same time when a Finnish guy named, an Israeli guy named Amnon had enticed me to go up to Finland to work in the logging camps. And so Alan Lomax's phone call came just in time to save me from that. And I went to England. And then it turned out that it was just a bit part. Not much. The TV only took 2 days. Alan really got me there because he wanted to start England's answer to the Weavers, which was a group called the Ramblers. And Ewan McCall was in that group.
Right.
It was a funny meeting, could be regarded as hilarious, because I arrived in London at Waterloo Station looking like hell after 20 hours on the train and all of that. And Alan took me back to his flat, and his girlfriend took one look at me, and his girlfriend was a model, Susan Mills, and she said, you're going to be met by TV people. You can't look the way you look now. And so she stripped me down, pushed me into the shower, and because I didn't have a single piece of acceptable clothing, she dressed me in her clothes, and she was a model. So she put my hair up in a beehive, put me in high heels and makeup and false eyelashes and jewelry and shoved me into the front room of this little Chelsea basement flat. And I tottered in. I hate high heels. I tottered in with my banjo. And there were, I think, probably about 8 or 9 men, and the room was filled with smoke. One woman, Shirley Collins. And across the room was this strange man sitting in the corner. And Alan said, sing, honey. And I realized, this is an audition. You know? And what it was these were the members of the band that he wanted me to join. And it was the producer, one of the BBC producers, Jeffrey Brideson, and the producer of the Granada television thing. He hadn't told me it was an audition. So I sat on a stool, and I hate sitting on stools because you can't tap your feet.
Right.
And I played the banjo, and this man just kept looking at me across the room. And he didn't have a chance.
We have to take another short break, but we'll be back soon to continue our chat with Peggy Seeger. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-325-0170. That's 800-325-0170. 800-325-0170.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house.
Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Let's continue our talk with Peggy Seeger. Ewan McCall, for those who aren't familiar, wrote the song The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face about you. And you guys did eventually get together. How did that come about?
Well, it took a while because he was 20 years older than me. We were completely opposite in type, but musically we absolutely matched. And sometimes people who are completely opposite, they do match. They're fascinated by each other. So it took us 3 years to finally get together because we had an affair for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I finally came back to the States because it wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. Then I came back to England and went to Russia and went to China and Poland and France and Belgium and finally came back to England, and it started to work. And he left his wife and his kids, and we started together. We ended up having three kids ourselves and having a life of music for 30 years. Everybody, you know, sometimes when these things happen, when a middle-aged man enters his midlife crisis and he leaves his wife, whom he loves, mm-hmm. often,
right.
and goes with a woman half his age, sometimes it's disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
And we were predicted as to be disastrous, but we weren't.
Okay.
It worked. But he wrote First Time Ever I Saw Your Face in 57, not 56. And we didn't get together until January 59.
Wow. We're speaking with Peggy Seeger. She is a singer, songwriter, and the author of First Time Ever, a memoir about her life. You mentioned traveling extensively, including to China. and Russia. A couple years back, we spoke to the actress Lee Grant, who, living in the United States, was blacklisted in the 1950s. And she had only...
She was one of them.
Yeah. And she had only spoken at a friend's a funeral, and as a result, basically had no work for 10 years. What was it like for you in the 1950s and 1960s, being an outspoken leftist who visited places like that and still lived part of your time in the United States?
Well, I lived. I took up British residency in 1959 because I lost my passport.
Right.
And, you know, the Americans wanted the China, what I call a China miscreants. They wanted us back in the States, but I avoided that by marriage. I married somebody that wasn't Ewan McCall, so I could get into England. I was pregnant at the time with Ewan's child. I had no intention of coming back to the States at that time. I virtually just entered English society, British society, and became part of the revival over here. I wasn't really outspoken until probably about the mid-1970s. Ewan was the outspoken one. Okay. I wrote a lot of outspoken songs, but I've never been a person who stands on a band, you know, on a box at Hyde Park Corner and talk politics. I've mostly written songs and become a feminist through a whole series of political changes, you know, political developments.
Is now a good time to be living in England, given how things are going over here?
Well, it's. I think I'm living in a country that's committing suicide. I do. I think Brexit is a disaster, absolute disaster. The problem is everybody getting fixated on immigration. And one of the things that, being a member of the EU, the European Union, one of the main legs upon which the EU stands, 28 nations, is that there's free movement between them. I have definite opinions. I think there's some of the countries that have come in that should not have come in. They, you know, the 28 nations working together, I think it would have been better if we'd stuck to about 15 or 16, because there's such economic differences between them that you're bound to have a flux of, I hate the word immigrant because it sounds like somebody coming with a, you know, with a little Gladstone bag and worn
right.
down shoes, whereas a huge number of the people who have come into England are, they have entered British society and they've become doctors, lawyers, nurses. A lot of them have become, you know, street cleaners and carers. I was in hospital with a very serious, you know, ailment in 2014, and I would reckon there wasn't one English, Scottish, Irish, Welsh person who was taking care of me. They were French and Portuguese and Romanian and Polish, and so I am trying to understand exactly what it is that people are want us to leave the European Union for. We are going to have an incredible drain of extremely valuable and skilled people. We already are having that, but the immigration thing has kind of a tunnel vision of a country that's in real economic trouble. We are. The corporations have taken away our big business. We don't have steel. You know, we don't have the textiles again. We produce practically nothing. We are a technocratic nation. And I think that some of it probably has to do with the influx of people of color, which is bound, you know, bound up with the whole idea that white people are superior, which I find absolutely incredible. But, you know, we're just a small country. We have had a huge influx of people, valuable as they are. And if too many people from another culture come in, people panic. And there's always the thing about jobs and about strange people walking the streets looking different. And we're a country that's in economic and cultural trouble, and we're blaming it all on immigrants. And so we're committing suicide because of one issue that is, seems to be bothering people. Doesn't bother me. What bothers me more is that the rich don't pay their taxes, and the corporations don't pay their taxes. So we're a dying country. What's it like to be living here?
Yeah, especially as compared to this side of the Atlantic, where things are looking a little iffy also.
A little iffy. It is rather an interesting time in human history.
Yeah.
It really is. And all on top of that, we have the most serious thing that has ever faced the human race, which is climate change.
Yeah.
And all of this fussing about between these leaders who, you know, the whole thing is, it's a very interesting time to be alive, but I'm not particularly happy at the way things are going.
We're speaking with Peggy Seeger. She is the author of First Time Ever, a memoir. You were at the center of the rise to mainstream popularity, at least during the 20th century, of folk music. I'm wondering, given the current contemporary political context of both Donald Trump and Brexit, as you say, what does it have to teach us today, and what impact could it have on us for good?
Well, there's a lot of songs coming out of it.
Yeah.
It's politicized the young people very much in the United States. You know, with this recent shooting and the gun, you know, the whole gun issue in the United States. And here, the poll tax and the occupation movement, young people seem to be coming to the fore, which for a long time they were kind of sleeping and doing their selfies.
Well, we've been speaking with Peggy Seeger. She is the author of First Time Ever, a memoir. Peggy, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for spending the time today. PeggySeeger.com, please visit. Please find out more. Please check out her book, First Time Ever, a memoir. Peggy Seeger, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Derek.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails!
This report is brought to you by Sears. Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer. It's a perfect time to get your home ready for the warmer months. To have peace of mind all summer long, homeowners want to avoid surprises during the hottest time of the year. They can follow these basic maintenance tips or bring in the experts for help. Chip Wade, celebrity home designer and expert craftsman.
Homeowners will definitely want their air conditioners working, so inspect and replace the air filter according to the owner's manual. Also, make sure to clean the inside of your washer. Warmer temperatures make these areas prone to mold growth and can even cause odors. Next, make sure you and your family stay properly hydrated and keep your refrigerator's water fresh by replacing the filter as needed. If larger issues with your appliances arise, Sears Home Services expert technicians can come to your home to perform a full 64-point inspection.
For more information, visit searshomeservices.com/summer.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4255. HuntedIn4HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntedinhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Trump arrived in Canada today for the G7 summit. One of the big things on the agenda will be dealing with the trade policy and trade practices between us and other countries. Before leaving for Canada, the president addressed our trade with Canada.
I love Canada, but they treat us very unfairly on trade. Very, very unfairly. You see the numbers.
A conservative voice says he has only a few weeks to live. Here's more with USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Columnist and longtime Fox News contributor Charles Krauthammer saying that he's in the final stages of a losing battle with cancer. The 68-year-old Pulitzer Prize winner has been missing from Fox News' special report for nearly a year now as he's been battling an abdominal tumor and subsequent complications. Krauthammer